Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name's Barbara P. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Monday, January 5th, and today we're reading from the Big Book, and we're on page 11 in Bill's story, fifth paragraph, starting with, "That floored me." Through one paragraph ending, he shouted, "Great tidings." Today's readers are Lisa N., Eileen P., Robin P. is doing our closing. Luann will be doing our steps. And actually, Eileen's going to read our traditions. Ann S.C. is our newcomer greeter, and Shelly will be doing our announcements. So thank you to everybody. Team Monday. The reference numbers for yesterday are, hang on, let me give you those. Today's Monday, January 5th, 7 a.m. meeting is 23,085. Let's see, the OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition, states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I'll now ask Luann C. Let me confirm. Luann C. to read the 12 steps.
Thank you, Barbara. My name is Luann C. I am gratefully recovered in Boise, Idaho. These are the steps as adapted for Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks for letting me help. I pass.
Thanks so much, Luann C. Eileen M., would you read the 12 traditions for us?
Good morning. My name is Eileen M. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in New Hampshire. The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all of these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Pass.
Well, thanks so much, Eileen M., for reading our traditions. So our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we're going to resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 11 on the fifth paragraph, and I'll ask Lisa N. to get us started. Lisa, go right ahead.
Thank you so much, moderator, for your service and everybody on the line doing service today. That floored me. It began to look as though religious people were right after all. Here was something at work in a human heart which had done the impossible. My ideas about miracles were drastically revised right then. Never mind the musty past. Here sat a miracle. Directly across the kitchen table, he shouted, "Great tidings!" And of course, we're talking about Ebby's visit with Bill. And I love it because one of the things that I circled in this paragraph was my ideas. His ideas were no longer working for him. He realized something in Ebby had changed, and he realized earlier in the paragraphs before this that his human will had failed. That's what it says in paragraph 3. He realized that his human will had failed. And he also says, like myself, he had admitted complete defeat. So now what he's realizing is that what Ebby is bringing to him, the good tidings that he's shouting, are something that Bill had ignored or had blown off. And what is so wonderful about this is that each person may or may not choose to accept this. We're not in charge. And so we can relax and take it easy when it comes to sponsoring, when it comes to bringing home the higher power idea to somebody. We don't have to do it. We just have to tell our experience, strength, and hope, share our experience, strength, and hope, and say what worked for us, and leave the rest to the higher power. And things happen that are absolutely miraculous, and the hearts are changed by God, not by us, so or their higher power. So, he was drastically revised right then and there. And that's how quick it can be. So like I said, we don't, it's not up to us. It's up to the higher power and that person's connection and what's to happen, where their destiny will be. And so that's all I've got. Thanks so much for letting me share and read today.
Thanks for getting us started, Lisa N. We appreciate you. Okay, so we will now open up for, we'll open up for 3-minute shares. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So, but please press star one if you'd like to share and give me your name.
Luann C.
Candita from Miami, Florida.
I heard Luann, and I'm sorry, from Florida?
Candita from Florida.
Candita.
Sheila S. from Los Angeles.
Sheila.
Gayla S. from Los Angeles.
Is that Gayla?
Yes.
Gotcha. Okay. And anybody else?
Deborah J. Arizona.
Got Deborah. And who was rep in with her?
Janice K.
Janice.
Oregon.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, fantastic. That's a great place to start. So we've got Luann, Candita from Miami, Florida, Gayla, Deborah, and Janice Kay. Anyone else want to add to the list? All righty. We'll have plenty of time for more. So Luann, you go right ahead and get us started.
Good morning, everyone. Happy New Year. My name is Luann C. I'm gratefully recovered in Boise, Idaho. And if you're a newcomer, I hope you feel welcome here and you hear something that makes you want to come back because there is an actual solution here. And I'm so grateful for it in my life. And speaking of solutions, I love this paragraph. And this sentence, my ideas about miracles were drastically revised right then. Well, I was raised in a specific religion where, you know, a miracle was people physically rising from the dead. And, you know, somebody has stage 4 cancer and a holy person touches them and the next day the cancer's gone. I mean, it was these big, gigantic things. And I hadn't ever seen them. I looked in the world, I didn't see any miracles happening. But, you know, when I went through this process, allowed myself the greatest act of self-care by letting myself go through this process, my ideas of miracles were changed, you know, because things were changing in down here on earth in my little life. So, you know, my mind was changing. Things that had been rock solid for years, you know, that a diet would work. Suddenly, I wasn't looking at life that way. My mind was changing. Over the holidays, suddenly I was really angry that my husband could have all this food and I was going over it and, you know, micromanaging, making sure he was getting desserts. I mean, it was crazy. But, you know, by using a 10th step, I was able to see and get a complete shift in my mind that it wasn't about the food. I was sad about the holidays, which I had never experienced before. And so this complete shift that completely solved the problem. And that's the way the miracles are working in my life. I get shifts in my thinking. And God comes in and I'm able to have a different view of people, of my finances, about everything, and definitely about food. So, you know, I'm just amazed that the miracles happen on this ground level where I live. You know, this is my shot at life. Later when, you know, Bill says, you know, isn't it more important that we have a miracle here as opposed to being so awe-inspired by the technological miracles happening. And for me, it is. It's so wonderful. I have relief now. And I hope that for you. And I just hope everybody has a great 2026. And thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Oh, thanks so much, Luann C. Candida, you are up from Florida. Candida, press star one.
Is it possible to come back to me because my baby is starting to have a little bit of a fit?
Absolutely. I'll check in with you after a couple of shares. How's that? Okay, Gayla from California, come on in.
Yes, this is Gayla. Many, many, many thanks to all of you listening today and for all of you and those that were part of this beautiful, beautiful program from the time I started, which was over 35 years ago. When I came in, I had come in through a therapist saying, have you thought of OA? Because I was talking about food a lot. And that was my introduction. And I remember the first meeting I went to, the very first meeting, it was in the evening. A woman next to me said, you cannot be in these rooms and it not change your life. So she was one of the very first messengers. I was totally bankrupt. I had been raised with religion. In my life, I did hit the wall. I thought, you know, just keep pushing harder, harder, harder. And the harder I pushed to exercise what I believed was spiritual principles, the worse things got. And when I hit the wall, I was forced to take my religious faith apart. I did not leave it. I held on to it, but I completely disassembled my belief system. It was not working. However, I have said since then that this program was the how-to of my religion. I was raised with religious principles, but the how-tos weren't there. And this program has laid out all of the how-tos. It's been just an incredible journey watching people change as people come, including me, into the rooms, exercise this program. For me, failing over and over and over and over again, it has changed my life. It has changed my life for the better, and the miracle has happened. And at the end of this excerpt, it says, he shouted great tidings. I don't know exactly. I'm not that well read in the history. I doubt he stood on the table and shouted. What I have found is people in the rooms, their message is loud and clear and vibrant and faith-promoting. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks so much.
Wow, thanks for sharing, Gayla. And Deborah, you're up next, and then we'll swing back to Candida after that.
Good morning, everyone, and Happy New Year, and thank you so much for your service today and leading us to one that's making this meeting possible and all the shares. And welcome, welcome, all the newcomers. I'm so glad you're here with us in this new year. Happy New Year to all. And I'm Deborah G. from Arizona, and I was just talking with my sponsor about some of this recently. I feel like it's just now, because I was also had these ideals from my past conditioning about religion and the experience that I had. And maybe that wasn't what was going on, but it was just all my own ideals and my thinking about it all. And now that is taking a shift. And I was talking to her about it, and she said, well, it sounds like you're having a deeper experience of God. I feel that, a closer relationship And I'm open to the, before it was just the spirituality, I'm open to everything. I'm open to the scriptures. It's wow, it's a new awakening. It's a spiritual awakening that I'm open to experiencing. And when I read it from the heart, I'm actually feeling the experience of it and the understanding. I didn't have an understanding. How could I, when I was in the throes of the food or my selfish self-centeredness? I think it was a lot about clearing myself out of the way so I could be open to that beautiful awareness. And I'm so grateful for it today. And I'm grateful for all of you. Thank you all for 12-step in me. And, you know, we don't have to do this alone. We can hold hands and do this together. Together. And I love that. Thank you so much. Have a beautiful, blessed day.
Thanks for your share, Deborah. And before we continue, let me just let folks who joined us know we are on page 11 on the fifth paragraph of the Big Book. And Candida, does this work for you? Is this good timing? Candida in Florida. All right, I'm going to swing back to her after Janice. Janice K. from Oregon. You're up.
Okay.
Hi, this is Candida. Hi, this is Candida, compulsive overeater. I'm pretty new to this meeting, and I just want to say, you know, the format and the messages I've been hearing here are amazing. I don't know how for a phone meeting things could be so organized and, you know, so recovery centered. I want to just thank my friend Amy in Virginia who led me to you guys. And I'm pretty new coming back to the program. And, you know, this morning I was meditating and I kind of got a message in my meditation. It's kind of related to the reading that, you know, God puts the solution at my fingertips, you know, and I resist it. It's like the last thing I want to do. And then I got a text from a girl that shares her gratitude with me every morning. I share my gratitude with her. She sent me a gratitude saying that somebody from their 12-step program died drunk with a 12-step pamphlet in his wallet. And I thought, God, please don't let me be the person that's sitting across the table from the miracle and I don't take it. And that's all I have to share. Thank you.
Oh, thanks so much, Candida. Glad you're here. Janice Kay from Oregon, you're up. And then we'll go ahead and take some more readers after Janice, or some speakers after Janice.
Hi. I think I'm unmuted.
You sure are. We can hear you well.
Okay, good. Okay. Very early things that are just kind of bedrock for me. One of them was the statement, what we have is a daily reprieve. And so I learned that certain things have to be done every day. And if I don't want to do them, I need to look at the reason why. And that typically ends up going on the list as some breakdown of selfish, resentful, dishonest, and afraid. So I have this list of things I have to do. Then when I read through the Big Book, I started the Big Book adventure probably back in 2019. And so that means that through COVID, I leaned into these meetings a lot, and I learned that I had to do certain things without fail. I also read at the end of COVID and began taking seriously the statement that we are looking at today, that religious people might have something to offer. So I went back to a church, and I have to admit, I went with filters. I was already doing, as listed in the foreword to the second edition, daily moral inventory, daily reflection on personal defects, the attempted living resolution to those harmed. I was trying to be of help to others, and I believed in and depended upon God. So I went back to my church, and some of the filters I used were, when someone is speaking, do I want to be like them? And another filter was, in what way does this person show God? And my third filter was, does this person walk the same walk that I do? And boy, when I found them, I listened. The preacher was amazing because he walked the walk. When he spoke and shared, he sometimes included his bits of personal experience that had me listening to him and nodding my head and saying, this guy knows what he's talking about. Eventually, I became willing to incorporate different bits of the church program. I'm not a good church lady. I am obstreperous. I am honest. I am loud. I don't revere others because they expect to be revered. But darn it, I went back in church and I found gold. I found gold. Thank you for listening, and I pass.
Thanks, Janice Kay from Oregon. Well, good. Now we will now take additional names for sharing for 3 minutes. Shares, although we value your experience, we ask that you do limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. But we would love to hear you. Who would like to share?
Rachel R.
Lisa N.
Rachel R.
This is Jen A. in Colorado.
Okay, I heard Rachel R. and Jen K. Jen K.
Lisa N.
Lisa N. Got you. Rachel R., Jen, Lisa N.
Esty Z. from New Jersey.
Esty, New Jersey. Is that V or Z? You'll let
Z
us know when you step up. Yes,
okay, Z as in zebra. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah. Who else? Rachel, Jen, Lisa, Esty. All right. Well, let's get started with those four, and we'll have some additional time. So, Rachel R., you are up next, and you'll be followed by Jen K.
Okay, good morning. This is Rachel R. in California. Can I be heard?
You sure can. Sound good.
Okay, great. Thank you. So this passage, it always like kind of stood out to me because you shouted this from the phrase, you shouted great tidings. And I'm just like, I know this is, you know, from the Bible. And I finally like looked it up this morning and I'm like, oh, okay. So it's like Luke 2:10. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David.
Rachel, so sorry to interrupt, but our traditions call for just reading from OA literature, please.
Yeah, I'm just referring this back to what we're reading. So this is because it is taken from that. So, so this is the same thing. It's like the angel is stating great tidings. So it's like, basically here, Evie is being his angel. He's like, here's something at work in the human heart. The ideas about miracles are drastically revised right then. Never mind the musty past. Here sat a miracle directly across the kitchen table. He shouted great tidings. So this is a direct reference actually from the Bible, which I just read that verse because that's part of what I'm sharing here is in reference to the reading this morning that, you know, Evie is this angel shouting great tidings to Bill. This is a message of being a savior. The book is like a savior for all of us here, this big book. And that is what Evie is like bringing this message to Bill, just like the, you know, angels brought the tidings of the birth of Jesus. So, and again, not that we're saying like this is about Jesus, et cetera, but it is, you know, referencing that. And that is, this is miraculous. The book is miraculous. The book is shouting, you know, giving us great tidings of a new life and a new way of living. that we wouldn't have had without it and without Bill writing this book. Today I just actually bothered to look it up, and I'm like, yep, there it is. So it just like brings into mind more the miracle of this, of Ebby going to Bill, shouting great tidings, and, you know, asking us to just, you know, look at this, the power greater than ourselves that is, you know, restoring us to sanity. It has nothing, you know, to do with just like our own self-power. It's a power greater than ourselves, for me, for sure, that can bring us back to sanity and to our, you know, this way of life that we've this is a gift that has been given to us, and it's perfect that we're reading this at the beginning of the new year, right after the most recent holidays. So, yeah, that's all I have. Thank you so much.
Hey, thanks, Rachel R. Jen K., you're up for 3 minutes. Right ahead.
This is Jen A. From Colorado. Did you call on me?
I sure did, Jen A.
Oh, thanks so much. Appreciate you. Jen A. recovered in Colorado by God's grace and mercy. You know, just grateful that God did a miracle in me. And I think it's pretty cool to be reading this morning. You know, we were just talking about it at church on Sunday. And how interesting is it? You know, here is this religious group, the Oxford Group Movement, that started this out. And, you know, we're looking at it in Bill's story back in the day. And, you know, Bill wrote from different books. He wrote from William James' Varieties of Religious Experiences, Emmett Fox's Sermon on the Mound, and all of these books inspired him. But what inspired him most was a power greater than himself, which he called God, which I call God today, too. And, you know, all of that, I mean, that's the miracle, right? The miracle that a human being here on this planet could listen and hear the voice of God and write all this down, or his higher power, and then it transcended into this 12-step way of this 12-step way of life in this program that's saving a girl like me. That's pretty freaking miraculous. And my big book sponsor, you know, he taught me, he said, write down this definition of miracle. A miracle is that there is no earthly explanation for what is happening to you. That's the difference. And that's what I see in this paragraph with Ebby and Bill. You know, he's saying, you know, your head and your mind used to take you to a certain place, Jennifer. Your thoughts used to like drive you crazy to the insanity of picking up a drink or a bite of food or whatever it may be. And today, through this 12-step program and running these inventory processes and taking them to another person and then praying and ask God to remove them, it's transforming my heart and my soul. My mind is always going to make up stories. My mind is always going to think things. It's always going to catastrophize. You know, being in program for years and years, I can tell you that I have to keep referring back to the simple program of action, the 12 steps, and to God, and using my sponsor and the fellows about me. And why? Because it's a constant transformation. You know, I mean, yeah, there's miracles that happen in my life, and you know, miraculously, like, I don't have any more back pain after, you know, 9 weeks of physical therapy and shots and this and that. But I also know that there's miraculous things that are happening in my heart and in my soul that are much bigger. And when I stood at church yesterday and he's talking about God's will on one side and our will on the other side, I was like, this is just like 12-step recovery, right? So we can look at it from all sorts of religious experiences, Buddhism, Hinduism, you know, all different ways. Why? Because this is a spiritual program of action. And we've been launched into a spiritual, like, dimension, this fourth dimension of existence. That's what's so cool, is it doesn't have any boundaries on that. It's just spiritual. And what does it do? It drew me back to church. It drew me back to religion. And it's drawn me closer to a power greater than myself, which I choose to call God today. So just so grateful that we learned that what's the garbage in my head and my mind? Well, if you really want to know, transform your heart through this 12-step program. That's the only way I know how to do it, and I keep doing it and keep coming back because, wow, isn't it incredible? And with that, I'll pass this morning. Thanks so much for letting me share.
Great. Thanks, Jen A. Lisa M., you're up, and you'll be followed by SDZ.
Hey, this is Lisa N., the other Lisa N. in Georgia. Thank you for the lead share. Really enjoyed it. Anyway, gratefully recovered in Georgia. I'm thinking back to, oh goodness, my Abby. And you know, this person is in my life today. This person is recovered. She actually lives in my same town. I'm going to share this story with her because I don't even think she knows, but she was my Abby. So this was a long time ago. You know, I think Vision was a couple of years old and she had first gone to Vision, you know, and she shared with me about it. And at that point, you know, I wasn't out of ideas. Not out of ideas. And it took me a lot longer to run through those ideas. But anyway, but the part that I'm looking at is where it says, here was something at work in a human heart which had done the impossible. So what was the impossible? Well, I'm thinking back to when my friend sat across from me. She was entirely absent, not just abstinent, you know, and back then abstinent was good enough for me. Abstinent still worked for me, but she was entirely absent and she was different. You know, it wasn't that she looked great because she did and all that, but she was free, you know? So I'm assuming, you know, when Abby walked in and of course he was fresh skinned and glowing and all that stuff. And Bill was like, what the heck is going on with this guy? You know, to me, you know, it is so clear that it is the power of God. Only the power for me, only the power of God can transform somebody, you know, not just how they look, but you can almost see the inner working. I can see the inner workings of somebody's mind, like through their eyes. You know, they've got that peace in their eyes. Oh my God, it makes me just want to cry. They've got that love in their eyes. Anyway, so I am so grateful. You know, hey, it takes what it takes. I'm sitting here today. I'm so grateful to be entirely absent, and that was just the ticket in the door. That was just the ticket in the door, and man, the real work began. But it and every day, you know, it was character defects and all this stuff. You know, as I'm trudging along, I'm just so grateful. I'm so grateful that God didn't give up on me. He never did. He just kept gently, you know, pulling me back. That's all I got. Thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Thanks so much, Lisa N. Perfect timing, Lisa N. in Georgia. let's see, SDZ, you are up. And for those who've joined us since, we are on page 11 in Bill's story on the fifth paragraph. SD, go right ahead.
Hi, good morning. SDZ from New Jersey. Thank you, everyone, for your service and for all your shares that are keeping me here. Shout out to my sponsor who helped me just get through the steps. And the great tidings, the miracle, I'm sitting here holding a miracle baby that was just born a couple of days ago. And obviously right now with this tremendous miracle, there's no way for me to deny God's presence throughout the journey. What comes to mind is that, thank God, this is not my first, but this is my first one in program. And even though there were a lot more bumps in the road than with the others, it was the smoothest journey. God just kept sending me messages that there are things going on here that no one else can help you with, no doctor, no referral, no this, no that. No matter how much they tried, they even put their hands up and we don't know how to help you. He still made it the smoothest journey by showing me that he's the one in charge and not me. So just contrasting old ideas and my ideas that totally need resetting and reframing, learning new ones now. So grateful and wishing everyone a beautiful day that I pass.
Thank you for sharing, SDZ. Okay, so we are on, again, page 11, fifth paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing every third day in order that others might share their experience too. Who else would like to share? We have time for about probably 2 to 3 more shares.
Larry G.
Julie B. Oregon.
G.
I've got Larry. I've got Julie.
Sivia. VG.
Sivia. So let's go ahead with those three. We'll see what we get. Who we get time for. If everybody can keep it kind of concise, we can probably do all three. So go right ahead, Larry.
Good morning, and thanks. Yeah. Good morning, everyone. Thank you, moderator, and those of you who are giving service today. My name is Larry G, and I am from California. And I welcome all the new people to this call, whether you're brand new to OA or you're coming back. We really value you and hope to get to know you better. I'll tell you what I'm grateful for is that Ebby did not bring a political agenda to the table. He did not talk about religious deities or scriptures of the great religions. He wasn't preaching. He wasn't lecturing. He wasn't quoting from great scriptures. Because this would have never happened, because Bill had a real prejudice against religion. And Ebby just cracked his heart open, you know, by offering him the space to come up with a God of his understanding, or I should say the God of my misunderstanding. And when I came to 12-step 45 years ago, and if I would have walked in the room and I had to sign up for a specific religion, or I had to sign up there was a political posters on the wall, like, you know, our warnings of drunk driving, you know, those pictures, I would have walked out. And I don't think we'd be here today. And I look back at this monumental moment in our AA history, our 12-step history. Ebby was really practicing the traditions. He was not bringing outside issues. He was not talking about religious organizations. He was not citing from the scriptures any of the great religions. All he offered was his experience, strength, and hope. And that's how our fellowship began, around a kitchen table. And I'm guessing that kitchen was not $100,000, improved kitchen with, you know, marble counters and wooden floors. I imagine it was pretty, our beginning happened pretty simply. I would imagine Bill's kitchen was very, very simple, without much to it, except that kitchen table sitting across from another drunk. And that's a legacy, I believe, that's been handed down. And it's happening right today. I mean, I would imagine there's thousands of sponsees sitting across the kitchen table, whether it's in a cafe or whether it's in their home, talking about the God of their misunderstanding. And so I'm grateful that Ebby really was the genesis, I think, of the beginning of the 12 traditions, which is just, to me, a great body of work. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thanks for your share. Perfect timing. Julie, you are up, and you'll be followed by Sivia.
Hi, this is Julie B. from Oregon, compulsive overeater, cigarette addict. Wow, I want to thank the last person for their share about religion. I appreciate that. I was raised in a very strict religious household, and then I was an atheist for 30 or 40 years, and OA has brought me back to a higher power, but it's not the one that I grew up with. My grandfather was a Chippewa Indian. He was born on the White Earth Indian Reservation in Minnesota. He was part of the Clan of the Porcupine, and I have been researching his spiritual beliefs since I entered program to kind of answer my question of what is the higher power. And I've been talking with the tribal elders and reading things, and, you know, higher power doesn't have to be about a written document. It doesn't have to be about a Western tradition. For me, it has to do with the being grateful and respectful and showing wisdom and love to everything and everyone around me.
if I eat a bowl of rice that has been growing in the soil, and I can show gratitude for that soil and for that rice and gratitude for the spirit that created it, I'm doing something positive for my body and my program and my community. If I sit down with a bag of Doritos and a Diet Coke, those things are very bad for the planet. They come wrapped in plastic. They have harmful chemicals. They're bad for my body. They're bad for my community. They're bad for the planet. So I am beyond grateful that this program has led me to look inside myself and in my family history of what a higher power looks like for me. Just a reminder that we don't all fall into a traditional Western patriarchal tradition. There are many, many of us here with different voices. So thank you so much to everyone for all your shares. I appreciate it, and I pass.
Thanks, Julie B. And Sivia, you have 2 minutes. Would you like to share?
Yes, thank you so much. Good morning. Happy New Year. You know, I don't care what anybody else's God is. And I think newcomers are a little confused. Higher power is personal to me. And that's what Ebby gave to Bill, was the concept of a higher power. It wasn't the particular God or a particular piece of religious literature. You know, it was, Bill, there is a higher power for you, it just ain't you. And that's where I know that when I start taking back my higher power credit and saying it's all me, or it's even partially me, my ability to not eat every cookie in the cookie jar, or to be able to commit to meditating daily, or to be able to look at Half Dome in Yosemite and know that I didn't create that, but something did. Some higher power somewhere, that startling beauty has nothing to do with me, but I need to listen to higher power wherever it resides, within me, outside of me. It's for me, it's a it's what guides me in this program with my sponsor and my sponsees and everybody attending the meeting, no matter if they've been in program for 50 years, if they've been in program for 50 minutes. We all have higher powers. And, well, I pass. Thank you, and have a blessed New Year.
Thanks, Sivia, and thanks, everybody, for their shares. So we will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And would Robin P. read our closing for us today?
Thank you so much, Barbara. I'm Robin P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater, and I'm in Franklin, Tennessee. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who's still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great factor. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.